This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen.
All right. Let's get my stuff situated. Good evening. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in church. Again, I keep praying the rapture happens before I come up here, but it doesn't. So, praise the Lord. Jesus Christ is coming soon. So, praise the Lord. All right. Would you go ahead and turn in your Bibles to, let's go to Proverbs, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. Book of Proverbs, chapter 22. I'm going to tell you a little joke. Well, not really. It's a joke, but it's also serious because it has something to do with what we're going to talk about. There's a man, and he thought he believed he was dead. And his family was trying to argue with him and convince him that he's not dead. They tried everything they could think of, but they just could not convince this man that he was alive, that he wasn't dead. But he still thought he was dead. So they thought, well, let's take him to a doctor. A doctor can convince this man that he's not dead. A doctor can convince him. So they took him to the doctor, and the doctor looks at him a little bit, and he's looking at the man, and he's like, and he thinks of it. He says, sir, do dead men bleed? And the guy says, thinks a little bit. He's like, well, no, if they're dead, their heart's not pumping, and blood's not going through the veins, so no, they don't bleed. He says, so he takes out a needle, pokes him in the finger, and blood comes out of his finger. He says, well, what do you know? Dead men do bleed. So, it's a funny story, but it has a lot of implications with what we're going to talk about tonight. How much evidence do you give somebody that already has all the evidence? How much evidence do you give someone that already has all the evidence? You don't give them any evidence. A man was asked that at UCF, and he said, this isn't even a saved man. He's like, well, you don't give them anything. He says, and he goes on to explain. He was asked, well, why? Why don't you give them anything? He's like, well, they're blind. They must be blind. They must just be blinded to the evidence. They're just ignoring it. And that's coming out of the mouth of someone who's not saved. And that's what we're dealing with right now. We're going to look at tonight. The title of my message is the Gnostic Agnostic. So agnostics are people who say they don't know. They just don't know God exists. They're not atheists. They're not saying that there is no God. They don't know. So what I want to talk about is what they do know. So Gnostic means knowledge. And so I say the Bible says, and it's clear in the Bible, they have knowledge. They just say that they don't know. They just say that. And now we know that God is true and every man's a liar. So we're going to believe God over man. So if the Bible says something and it goes right against what they're saying, we need to believe God. And so they say they don't have any knowledge of God, but the Bible says otherwise, and we're going to see that in a second. And this may not matter to you, really. This kind of subject may not really matter too much to you if you don't really go and witness. So I encourage you to go and preach the gospel, and this may be relevant because a lot of the world is going this direction where they're you know, it's probably been like this, I'm sure, since the beginning of time, but they just deny God. They just don't want anything to do with God. And they say, well, I'm an atheist, I believe in science, and they begin to contradict themselves. And so this would be relevant to you, especially if you're, you know, witnessing in the world. So Proverbs 22, this kind of goes along with what we just said. I'm going to kind of define knowledge from this passage right here. Knowledge, chapter 22, verse 20. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge? There's our word. That I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. There it is, right there. And we can read that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sent unto thee. So, you see, knowledge connected with truth and certainty. So, knowledge is the clear or certain perception of truth or fact or that which exists. That's what knowledge is. You know something that is truth. You can perceive it and you know that it's truth. So, when you have knowledge, it's a clear perception of truth. And that's what the Bible clearly, how the Bible defines it. You cannot know anything. This is the claim I'm making. You cannot know anything at all unless you start with God. If you don't start with God, you can't know anything. And the Bible is clear on this, and we'll see this all through the scriptures. We have a lot of verses to turn to. So hold your place in Proverbs. We'll actually go ahead and turn over to Proverbs chapter 1. And we're going to be back and forth between Proverbs and the New Testament. So just kind of stay in Proverbs. But Proverbs chapter 1, and then get another finger over and then turn over to Colossians chapter 2 also. Proverbs chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 2. And you know this, I think you guys know this verse, Proverbs 1, but Colossians 2 is a really great verse that goes right along with Proverbs 1 and another passage we're going to look at in Proverbs in a second. So you can't know anything unless you start with God. Knowledge, where does knowledge come from? That's what we're going to look at right now. And we're going to start off with, it's kind of like the introduction to the Gnostic, agnostic. But so you're in, you should be in Proverbs, and I'm trying to get to Colossians 2. Proverbs 1 and Colossians 2. Proverbs 1 says in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So I'm just kind of looking at the first part of that verse right now. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Chapter 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So in order to get knowledge and wisdom, you got to start with God, according to that passage. And if you look in Colossians 2, verse 3, and actually look in verse 2, it says at the very end, we're talking about and of Christ. So we're talking about mystery of God and of Father and of Christ. We're talking about Christ in verse 3. So in whom, that's in Christ, are hid all the treasures of, there's the words we just read, wisdom and knowledge. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You can't have wisdom and knowledge without Christ. And that makes sense because we say this verse a lot. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But we just skipped it. We kind of read it pretty quick, but John 14:6, the truth, if Jesus Christ is the truth and knowledge is a certain perception of truth, then you need Jesus Christ in order to have knowledge. You need to start with Christ in order to get off the ground. If you don't start with God, you don't start with Christ, you don't have any knowledge because you don't know what truth is. You don't have a standard, a measuring rod of truth and falsehood. You can't say something is that's true and that's not true. You can't say that. You can just say what, you can just start going within yourself and then contradicting yourself as we'll kind of, I might kind of go through the what they believe and how they end up talking when they talk to Christians. But our point here is they say that they don't know anything. They don't know God exists. But the Bible says that they have knowledge from Jesus Christ, and you have to start with Christ to know anything, to go any further. John 1:9, Jesus Christ is the light that lighteth every man. I think that could also, you could also apply knowledge to that. Now we can take that to mean life and spiritual life and other things. But also knowledge is from God. He's the light that lighteth every man. It goes right along with these other verses we just read. So knowledge is from God, and when people deny God, they give up knowledge because they're denying the one that that gives knowledge. They're denying Jesus Christ. They say they don't really know anything. And what they say is, well, you could be wrong about everything you know. They say, well, I could be wrong about everything I claim to know. And if you say you could be wrong, then you don't really know. Because if I say, this building is like 30 feet tall, but I could be wrong, I don't really know it. I'm just saying it, but I could be wrong, right? So when they say, I could be wrong about everything, they have to, it logically comes to the conclusion that you don't know anything. You just give up knowledge. And that's exactly what the Bible just says, is that if you don't start with Christ, and we're going to see a lot of verses in Proverbs as we're reading, if you don't start with Christ, you don't get knowledge. And I want to show how in Romans 1 we'll talk about this. So go ahead and turn to Romans 1. Hold your place in Proverbs. Hold your place in Proverbs. Go to Romans 1. But Romans 1 will show this, that they know things. They just don't want to know things. So that they can then be God, and they can say whatever is true. They get to come up with whatever is true because there is no absolute standard of truth. And when you make the statement that there is no absolute truth, you're making an absolute statement of truth. You're saying, is it true that there is no absolute truth? Well, then you just contradict it. It just blows itself up. It doesn't hold. If truth is relative, and you say truth is relative, you're making an absolute truth claim that truth is relative. So you just contradict yourself when you say that. And so when they say, I don't know anything, they just made a knowledge claim. I don't know anything. They just made a knowledge claim of their own knowledge. They say, I don't know anything. I know that I don't know anything. So they just kind of contradicted exactly what they just said. And the fact of the matter is they do know things. But when you talk to them, when a Christian talks to them this way, they have to go and revert back, and they have to say, "Well, you don't really know anything, you know, for certain. You don't really know anything." But in the reality is, they do. They just have to, if they want to hold on to their, their worldview, which is a godless world, they have to say that I don't know anything. And so what you're left with is just absurdity and irrationality. And they don't want to go there, that direction. They don't want you to say those things. But that's really, if they were reasonable and rational about what they're saying, they have to say, I don't know anything. But then they contradict themselves because they're saying that they don't know anything, which is something that they know. So it's really irrational. And that's kind of what I want to show you when we get in the book of Proverbs. And it's all about wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And you're going to see how it contradicts that with the fool. And that's what really we're going to get to, is the fool, right? Because the fool has said in his heart, we're going to read that verse, there is no God. So in Romans chapter 1, you know, we're kind of going to spend a good bit of time in here. Romans chapter 1, and we're going to look at the word knowledge in different forms. It's actually four different ways it's used. It's the word known, new, knowledge, and knowing. So they're all connected with knowledge. But we'll see, this is all talking about the lost person. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So it just says that they hold the truth. They just don't think it's right. It's just unrighteousness. They think that it's wrong. They have the truth, right? Jesus is light, light of their men. He gave them truth. Because that which may be, there's the word, known of God, is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. God showed them something. Now, whether they're in America or Africa, they know. They know things. It's manifest in them because God showed it unto them. You didn't show them. I didn't tell them. I didn't have to go and preach to them. They know something, and it's manifest in them. And that's the knowledge of God. They know God exists. God showed it unto them. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. They have that truth. They have God. They have the knowledge of God. For the invisible things, verse 20, of Him from the creation of the world. Let me make sure I have a verse I had to go to right there. I had 1 Corinthians 1:21. Oh, no, that's the wrong one. That's the wrong one. So I keep going. We'll keep going. We're almost there. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they were without excuse. That's the creation. It clearly proclaims there's a creator, right? Praise the Lord. And look at this, verse 21. There's a word again. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So they knew God, and I would even say, look, since it says they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, I think they know that we all know that you're supposed to give God the glory. You know that there's a God, and you know that He deserves the glory, and that you're supposed to give thanks unto Him, because you didn't make those animals. You didn't create the trees and the plants that you're eating. And so every time we eat, every time we take from God, every time we breathe, really, we're taking something that God made, and He deserves the glory for it. He deserves the praise for it. We should be giving Him the thanks, right? But the lost person, they weren't thankful. They didn't glorify Him, even though they knew they should have. And so that's why the Bible says that their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They professed that they were wise, but they weren't giving God the glory. They weren't giving God the praise. They weren't giving God the thanks. And they're saying there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So that's why they're fools, because God's not name calling. He's just describing a person that is denying the certain perception of truth that they have. They have a certain knowledge, and they're foolish for saying that they don't know when they really do know, and they should be giving God the glory. And I think in this part, you could even apply to a believer. We should be giving God the glory and thanking God every day. And when we don't, it's kind of putting us in the same camp. We're saying, well, you have to deny God in order for you to get the glory, or for you not to give God the glory, right? For him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. So we're sinning when we don't give God the glory when we know we should. And it's a sin to not give thanks to God when we know we should give thanks to him. And so I think, we're talking about atheists and agnostics and people who deny that there is a God, but really, even ourselves, we can sometimes get to the point where, hey, you know, I don't want to think about God right now. I'm going to go and sin. You know, I don't want to think about God right now. I'm doing my thing. You know, so we got to really be careful of that and really be concerned that we're giving God the glory and thanks for everything that He gives us, right? So praise the Lord. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Verse 23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God. I missed my verse. Yeah, I was going to tell you guys to go to 1 Corinthians. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That's the one I was going to have you go to earlier. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So we're talking about knowledge and how the people who say they don't know, this is all things that they do know. They know God exists, and they know that they're supposed to give Him the glory and thank Him. It's manifest in them. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Is that a contradiction? Remember verse over there in Romans 1, it says they knew God. But they glorify Him not as God. This over here says they knew not God. So is that a contradiction? No, of course, there's no contradictions in the Bible. So they knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching the same that I believe. So read the verse, though. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom. So there's the wisdom of God, but there's also the wisdom of the world. And so you can come to the point where, you know, you are seeking the wisdom of the world and you don't know God. You're not seeking God. So they know God exists, but they don't want to know Him. And so, right, we believe in science. We believe in, you know, we believe in all these scientific things. We don't believe in God. So by their wisdom, their worldly wisdom, they no longer know God exists, right? Look over in Proverbs 14 to go right along with this. Proverbs 14. You should have your, hopefully you have your hand there. Proverbs 14. So they decided not to know God because they were wise, right? In their own conceit. They had a worldly wisdom. It's obviously not biblical wisdom because they're denying the very God that they know. So chapter 14, verse 6. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. So in contrast to the world, knowledge is easy to find. You can easily know about God. You just got to seek it. You just got to desire it. You got to want it. You got to understand. You have to, if you deny the very one that's giving you knowledge, yeah, then it's going to be pretty hard for you to gain any more knowledge beyond that, because He is the one that's going to give it to you. But when you don't deny the knowledge of God, right, just like John 3, he says, talks about how light, men love darkness rather than light. So some men want the light and come to the light, and some men turn away from the light and they choose darkness because they don't want to have their sin revealed. You have the choice. You can seek after the knowledge of God and fear the Lord, and fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, or you can deny God and you can go after the worldly wisdom, but then you're giving up knowledge altogether and you're left with absurdity, like we just talked about earlier. And then right along with that, first, 1 Timothy 6:20, where it says, avoid oppositions of science, falsely so-called. Science is knowledge. And so, stay away from false knowledge, right? Science, falsely so-called, claims to know things, but they really don't. The only way they can know anything is from the Creator. So back to Romans 1, things that the agnostic, the non-knower knows. That's what we're looking at. Things that the non-knower knows, the knowledge of fools. Romans chapter 1, I think we left off, Romans 1, we read that they knew God. Let's see, I'm going to get mixed up here. They knew God, they glorified not as God, and they were thankful. 23, change the glory of the uncorruptible God. And now, as we're reading this, I'm thinking of our nation, as Pastor was mentioning, change the glory of this is our nation. They forget God. They got rid of God. So here's what they get. They change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. American Idol, right? You're idolizing man. They seek after animals now, right? Animals are more important than humans. They're more concerned with you running over an animal rather than murdering a baby, right? All the things, it just becomes twisted when you start denying, giving up knowledge, right? Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And it gets nasty. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. So they had the truth, right? They just changed it into a lie, and they worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, yuck, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was meet. And ready, after all that, verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind. So they knew God, they know God exists. They know that He deserves the glory, and that that they should be giving him thanks for the things that they get. And beyond that, they have this knowledge of God. They just don't like to have that knowledge. That's what it says. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And I think this goes along with, right along, all surrounding this passage is just wicked sins. They must be convicted of their sin, right? Romans 2:15, if you look over, it says, verse 14, when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. So they have this conscience. They have this conscience from God that says, you know, I don't want someone to kill me, I'm not going to kill them. No, I don't want someone to lie to me, so I shouldn't lie to them. But when they do it, they feel bad, right? But maybe if you do enough times, right, what happens? You sear your conscience, or you just don't feel bad anymore. My uncle, he was getting bad into some bad drugs. One of my uncles over in Louisiana, and he was telling us his story, and the guy that he was doing it with, he's like, man, I just feel so bad. He's like, I feel so bad every time I do this. He's like, you don't feel bad when you do this? And the guy said, well, no, after a certain amount of time, it just goes away. You just don't feel bad anymore. And he got scared and ran away, which is the right thing to do at that point. And praise the Lord, he doesn't do drugs anymore. But he wouldn't get to the point where he just didn't feel bad anymore, right? Because then you'd just be stuck in it, and you wouldn't ever be able to get out of it. The guy had no conscience. He seared his conscience with a hot iron, just like the Bible says. And I think that goes right along with this, where they have the knowledge of God, and they feel bad at the same time. Because they're sinning, they're going wicked sins, right? They didn't give God the glory, they didn't give God the thanks, so now they're just doing all these wicked sins, and they don't want to feel bad anymore. So they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. So God gives them over, right? God gave them up, and now He gives them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I think that's what happened to that guy that my uncle was talking to. He got given over to a reprobate mind, and he just didn't feel bad anymore about it. It was so easy for him to do it. So that's the knowledge. They have that knowledge of God. They just don't want to know God. So they call themselves, and I put this here as a reminder, they call themselves atheists. And think about this. They say they're atheists, right, which means that there is no God. Or they say they're agnostics, which means they don't know if God exists. They don't know that God exists. They don't believe in God. But the Bible says that they do know God. So we know that the Bible is true. So they have the knowledge of God. They just have to keep reminding themselves that, no, I don't believe in God. 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 There is no God. There is no God. Their title is there is no God, to just remind themselves that they don't want to believe in God anymore. They don't like God to exist. Why didn't they come up with a unicornist or something, a flying pink elephantist? Because none of those, they don't exist, right? The unicorns that we at least depict today, or Pegasus, right? Why don't they call themselves anything else? Like whatever. They decide to title themselves by no and God, because they really do know God exists, and they have to struggle every day with the knowledge of God, and so they have to remind themselves over and over and over again that, no, I don't, I no, there is no God. No, there is no God. Science believes. And so they have to really convince themselves. And so evolution and all that has just given them more of a barrier to try to push back against that knowledge that they really do know. And they've replaced it with false knowledge to try to deny God even more, even though they have the true knowledge inside of them. So it's just interesting that their name is atheist, and they have to keep reminding themselves that there is no God. And if you keep going on, you'll see. So they know God exists. They know that they need to give God the glory and the praise. And they know that their sin is bad, and that they don't want God. They don't want to know God anymore. So verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness. It just gets worse and worse. This is just the list. And remember this, because we're going to come to another passage that kind of relates to this. Maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, right, the one that they say doesn't exist, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Verse 32, the last mention of knowing in chapter 1, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So they know that God's going to judge them one day. That's what the Bible says. And, the Bible says over in Hebrews 9:27 that He's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Apparently, they know, and that's what God said. I'm just going to believe God, that they know that they're going to be judged. They know that they're going to have to answer to the God that they know exists. They know that if there's a creator, that there is a creator. They know that, and they know that they should be given the glory and the praise, and they know that they don't want him to exist anymore because they want to do their sin. And on top of that, they know that God's going to judge them for their sin. So if they can, you know, convince themselves that there is no God, even though they can't get over the knowledge, then, you know, maybe they won't have to feel bad about their sin anymore. But they know, the Bible says, they know, knowing the judgment of God, not only do the same by pleasure in them that do them. And if you remember, actually, we can maybe just turn there real quick. In John chapter 16, to go on with the judgment of God that they know. John chapter 16, verse 8. And this goes right along with verse 28 that we read about. They have the knowledge of God. They have that conscience. John chapter 6. Verse 8. This is talking about, if you read in verse 7, the Comforter is talking about the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ is going to give him the Comforter. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father, and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. So that the Holy Spirit works hand in hand with the knowledge that God gave them and that conscience to convict the world of their sin, and that Jesus Christ is the righteous one, and you're not righteous, I'm not righteous, and that you're going to be judged, you know, by God compared to Jesus Christ. So you better turn towards God. You better call on the name of the Lord and be saved. This is to anybody, right? To anybody. So they have knowledge. They have knowledge, despite what they call themselves, that they're agnostics. They do know. They know that God exists. They know that they need to give him the glory. They know they got to thank him for what they have. And they know that they have a conscience that bears witness, that convicts them of their sin, and they know that God's going to judge them one day. But we just read how they don't like the knowledge of God. It's not that they don't have it. They just don't like to have that knowledge. And again, Romans 3 comes right back again. Romans 3, I think it's 4, says, is it Romans 3, verse 4? Let me go over there. For what if some did not believe? Romans 3, verse 4. Yeah, God forbid. Let God be true, but every man a liar. So God is true. God cannot lie, right? But every man, hey, you want to say that God doesn't exist? Well, I don't believe you. I'm going to believe God. That God says, you know God exists. You know he exists. He put the knowledge within you. And so we're going to stick to the Bible. I'm going to stick to the Word of God and trust that. And so when I come to an agnostic or atheist and they say, well, I don't believe in God. Well, I don't believe you. You know, you say you don't believe in God. Okay, you're just trying to convince yourself that there is no God. But really, you have the knowledge. And that's what I tell you. You have the knowledge of God. And so the Bible says that in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And you know things. And the fact that you know anything is a proof that there is a God, because without God, you can't justify knowledge, because truth is just arbitrary. Truth is whatever anybody wants to feel or wants to believe. And if truth is arbitrary, then there is no such thing as knowledge, because knowledge is a certain perception of that which is true. And so if you give up truth, if there's nothing's true, and your truth is your truth, my truth is my truth, then you give up knowledge in turn. So the fact of the matter is that worldview, or that view of how the world works, is false. And the biblical worldview is what is true. And so when the Bible says that they do know things, and that through the knowledge of God, and through God we can gain knowledge and gain understanding and gain wisdom and reasoning and logic, when you use all these things, it can only come through God existing. You can't have that any other way. There's no other view of the world that makes sense. Logically speaking, and even just biblically speaking, nothing else makes sense. It's just whatever the Bible teaches, it is true, and we've seen it time and time again. The Bible proves itself over and over again. So, to go right along with Romans 1, what we've read here, let's look at some examples of people denying knowledge in the Bible, where things that they know for certain, but they just deny it. They just act like they don't know, or they just give it up. So, Genesis chapter 1, you guys may already know kind of where I'm going with Genesis 1, but we have a couple places over in Genesis we're going to look at and try to keep your place in. I know it's kind of hard, but in Proverbs. Well, if you don't have to, but we're going to come back to it anyways. So Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 3, I'm sorry. I'm going to read some verses from 1 in a second, but Genesis chapter 3 says, Now the serpent was more, verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of every of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit which is, of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. What's the fruit in the tree in the midst of the garden? If you read back in chapter 2, verse 9, it says, The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge, verse 9, chapter 2, of good and evil. So, not, it's a tree that is a knowledge of good and evil, and they know things, obviously, at this point in time. God created the heaven and the earth, right? And he goes through in all the way in chapter 1. You can read it. It was very good. Or it was good. It was good. It was good. It was good. It was very good. So they have knowledge of what's good, right? God is good, and they know God exists. They know about God. They know about his creation, and they know that's good. So they have knowledge of good. So by eating of this fruit or by doing anything with this fruit, all you're gaining is knowledge of evil. And really, if you think about it, you're giving up the knowledge that you know that's good to go after something that is going to give you knowledge of good and evil, which it really is only going to give you evil knowledge because you know, you already know all this that's good that God made. Everything was very good, God said. So they had the knowledge of good. The only thing they were gaining was knowledge of evil. So when Satan says in verse 4, and the serpent said unto her, unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, he just contradicted the knowledge that they had that God just said that ye shall surely die. God told them, ye shall surely die. So they had this certain knowledge, and it was from the person who gives certain knowledge, which is God. And they just chose, so right there, Satan just said something that went against what their certain knowledge said. And Satan goes on to convince her, For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So that he's trying to convince her to go against what she knows, to follow after something she doesn't know, which is the evil, right? Because she already knows what's good. She already has that knowledge, but all she would be going after is evil here. So this is literally choosing evil over good. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant in the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, gave also unto her husband and with her, and he did eat. So this is the first mention of knowledge in the Bible, which is the knowledge of tree of knowledge of good and evil. And here, I think it's clear that they knew what was good, but Adam and Eve, just by denying what they knew and going after what they didn't know, and they gave up the knowledge of God because God said, this is what is, this is what is right, and this is what's wrong. You know exactly what to do. And they just chose, they didn't want to know what God said anymore. They didn't want to know God. So the first sin in the Bible is all a foundation of knowledge. They had a knowledge of what was good, but they gave it up to go after what's bad, and it brought sin and destruction and horrible things in this world. So another example is right over in chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. So remember, Abel and Cain both brought offerings to God, and God respected Abel's offering, but he had not respect unto Cain's. And verse 5, verse 8, and Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. That's the truth, right? That's true. That Cain slew Abel. It's true. So we have a truth claim by God through his word. Verse 9 says, And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. So, am I my brother's keeper? He just lied. And he had a certain knowledge of what he did. And even beyond that, God knew exactly what he did. And God had it written down. And he knew what he did to his brother. He knows exactly where his brother is. He just didn't want to know where his brother was. And he didn't want God to know what he did with his brother. So he had to lie to God. So you end up lying when you claim that you don't know. So when the atheist says, I don't know God exists, they're lying. They're lying to your face. I don't know God. Abel right here just said a straight-up lie, and God obviously didn't believe him. God says, and he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cries for me. So it's not like God was like, oh, well, and try to convince him or talk to him about what he didn't know or knew. God knew what was right, and he went and answered Abel or Cain according to his folly. Another example is Exodus chapter 32. This is an interesting one. Exodus 32, remember the people, the Jews, children of Israel, just got brought out of Egypt. And Moses is up on the mountain getting tables of stone from God. and the mountain's on fire. There's thundering, and they're around the foot of the mountain, and there's some pretty spectacular stuff going on up in that mountain, and they can hear it. I'm sure they can hear rumblings and stuff the Bible talks about. So they had knowledge that of where Moses was. They had knowledge of what he was doing, and they had knowledge of that, certain knowledge that, hey, God's up here. No other gods have ever lit a mountain on fire and spoken from heaven and thundered the entire earth, you know, at command. So they have a certain knowledge of God, and let's see what they do with that knowledge. Verse 1, chapter 32, Exodus 32, verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mount, people gathered themselves unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. Wot means to know, right? We don't know what happened to Moses. We have no idea what happened to him. Make us some gods. Make us some gods which shall go before us. So they go on to make a god out of this gold. They make a idol, a golden calf, and they went directly against what they knew was true and what they knew was right. They knew that God brought them out of the land of Egypt. They knew that God brought them across the sea, but if you read on, they go and praise this golden calf and say that this calf, it brought them out of the land of Egypt, which was obviously a bold lie. And they had the knowledge of God. They knew that, they knew what God had done for them. They knew God existed. They knew he was up in that mountain. They knew Moses was up there and was going to come down. They just didn't want God anymore. So they gave up the knowledge that they had of truth, and they went and sought after falsehood. And if you look at this, look at what happens. Just like we read in Romans 1, they deny that God exists, and verse 6, I think. Where's that? Where they? There's like a sound of war in the camp. I don't see where it's at. But they're worshiping this God. Or verse 8, I guess, they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I have commanded them. They have made a molten calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed thereunto and God, these gods, and said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." So they start just worshiping this golden calf that they just made with their own hands, and they're sacrificing unto it. And so it's like that's the same thing in Romans 1, where God just gives them over. When you deny God exists, you just end up in just foolishness and ridiculousness, and just worshiping anything and everything that you can seek after, anything but God. So it goes right along with Romans 1, where you're denying the knowledge of God. Let's go over to the New Testament. Let's see, in the book of Acts. Let's turn to Acts. Another example. Another one is also Pontius Pilate. And I think you guys have heard this one before. But if you just think about it in this context, Pontius Pilate was standing before Jesus Christ. And he said, what is truth? He asked Jesus Christ, the truth. What is truth? And then he just walks away. He doesn't wait to hear the answer. And we hear that a lot. You know, he wasn't really concerned with what was truth. He wasn't wanting to know. He was just, you know, doubting or casting doubt on Jesus Christ. And he says, "What is truth?" And walks away. And then he goes on to say, "I find no fault in this man, Jesus Christ." So, he goes on to use truth, right? Falsehood. He goes on to use truth after just questioning what is truth. So it's a contradiction when an atheist says they don't know anything, and then they go on and they drive down the road. They know exactly how their car is going to work, right? They know that the roads work this way. You know, they know that you're supposed to go one direction, not the other direction. You know what the speed limit is when you see the speed sign. They know all these things. They know when they get to work what they're supposed to do, and they use knowledge from God. They use truth and falsehood that they got from God, but they, to your face, they'll say there is no God. So to the face of the truth, Jesus Christ, that's like a perfect example of how atheists are today. To your face, they'll say, Pontius is saying, what is truth? But then he went around to go and use truth to determine that Jesus Christ didn't do anything wrong. So it's right there. It's just a self-refuting contradiction that Pontius Pilate really knew what was truth. He just said that he just questioned it. He was just questioning truth, but he had the knowledge of truth. Acts chapter 17. This would be the last example. There's probably, I'm sure, many examples. These are just a few of them in the Bible of people knowing things for certain, but they just denying the knowledge, the certain knowledge that they have. Acts chapter 17. This is a really interesting one. Brother Michael went over this in a Sunday school in a different light. But let's see. Chapter 17 and verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious." That was the word that we had in Sunday school, superstitious. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." So these men of Athens, these are pagans. They have a bunch of different gods, and they make idols and statues to different gods, a bunch of gods. And so they have all these gods that they made up. Then they have this one inscription of, to the unknown God. It just says, to the unknown God. It's just an altar with that inscription. So if you're calling him the unknown God, and then you just leave it at that, right? This is almost like the modern day atheist. We're going to say we don't know God, and then not try to know God or anything, or assume that there is no God. We're not going to seek out God or try to find God. So the atheist is the same way. This is a pagan, and he says, there's all these other gods, but there's this one unknown God. Well, why are they just leaving him at the unknown God? But, you know, the Bible says that they do know God. So what's interesting is they have this knowledge of God when they make this inscription to the unknown God. But they don't want to know that God. So they call him the unknown God. So that way you can't know him. Oh, he's just this magical, mysterious God that you can't really know, you know. And so they categorize God as the unknown God, so they won't ever have to really worship him as he is, as he proclaims himself. And that's why Paul says, whom ye ignorantly worship, and then he goes on, of him declare unto you, God that made the world. He starts talking about the unknown God that they know. They have the knowledge of. They just didn't, just like in Romans 1, they didn't like to have the knowledge of God. And so God gave them over to their wicked sins and, you know, all the wicked things that happened over there in Greece, in Rome. So they didn't want to know God. It wasn't that he was unknown. They had the knowledge of God. They just got God out of their head, out of their knowledge. So that's clear from, I think that's almost exactly like Romans 1 I've read, how they have this knowledge of God, but they don't want to know that God. So let's move on to some verses that the Bible talks about. We just learned how people know things, the agnostics know things, and where does that leave them? So I want to look at the knowledge, or the results of denying the knowledge of God. So you guys, I think we read this already. Should be in Proverbs. So Proverbs 18, Proverbs 18 in Psalms. So Psalms chapter 14. If you can get those two, Proverbs 18 in Psalms chapter 14. This is a lot of the world today. The majority of the world doesn't want to know God. So Psalm 14 and Proverbs 18. So in Psalm 14, verse 1, I think we quoted this, but I'm going to read it. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. So as we said, the fool he's a fool because he's denying what he knows. He has a certain knowledge of. And where is he saying it? He's saying in his heart, there is no God. So you may get God out of your heart, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't exist. You just got him out of your heart. So you may get something out of your house, like, okay, I don't like cinnamon. I don't like cinnamon. So I'm going to get all the cinnamon out of my house. You know, cinnamon, get out. So, okay, yeah, there's no more cinnamon in your house, but there's still cinnamon. It still exists. You just got it out of your house. So they just get God, or at least they try to. They say in their heart there is no God. That's what they're saying. In their heart there is no God. And but the problem is there is a God, and they're just denying what the facts, but that they have knowledge of. And then so this is interesting how this saying is connected with the heart, right? And we know Jesus said Luke 6:45 that how the heart and the mouth, right? The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so the heart is definitely connected with the mouth. So you'd expect that the fool who's saying there is no God, what's in their heart, which is there is no God. it would be coming out of their mouth saying that there is no God. But when they're denying knowledge, which is what they have done by saying there is no God, they just gave up knowledge, then you also would expect stuff like that to come out of their mouth. And that's exactly what happens at the universities. They just deny knowledge. They say there is, you can't really know anything. So I want to look at some verses about that. You should be in Proverbs 18. So this, all through Proverbs, knowledge is there, all through Proverbs. But this is on the heart, the fool in the heart. Chapter 18, verse 2. The fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. So he has no delight in understanding, his heart may discover itself. What does the Bible say in Jeremiah? It says that the heart is deceitful. Jeremiah 17, 9, and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So they have no delight in understanding, but that their heart may discover itself. You talk to people all the time. There's like, maybe 50% of people would say, "Oh, just believe in your heart, or you know, follow your dreams, seek yourself." That's the fool. That's what the fool is doing, because they denied God, and they say in their heart there is no God. But remember, the heart is deceitful, so they're just deceiving themselves by wanting their heart to discover itself. It's like they don't care to understand. They don't want to know. They don't want to have knowledge of God, because if they start going after knowledge and understanding and truth, that's going to lead them to God. And they're going to have to answer for their sins. They're going to have to repent of their sins. And they don't want to do any of that. They don't want to give up their sins. They want to deny God so they can find their own hearts. Proverbs 12, to go right along with that, Proverbs 12:33. This is the heart of fools. Proverbs 12:23. A prudent man, it's like a wise man, concealeth knowledge, but a heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The prudent man, the wise man, he's finding knowledge, he's getting knowledge because he's seeking after God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But the foolish man, is more foolishness just comes out of his mouth and out of his heart, because he's already given up knowledge. So he's going to run around proclaiming that foolishness. And you're going to find out pretty soon that man's a fool when he denies God. And then he goes on to make all these other claims, but he already gave up God, he already gave up knowledge, so he just ends up contradicting himself by saying there is no such thing as absolute truth. Truth is all relative. And that's just, it's foolishness, because you literally, it just explodes, it blows up on itself, because you can't say that truth is relative absolutely, because you just contradict exactly what you said. So what happens is, when you deny God, you end up with absurdity. You end up with foolish things come out of your mouth, and people, other fools praise you for it. But when we have understanding and knowledge, if we have knowledge of God, we know that we know what's true. So I'm going to look at some more verses on the fool and knowledge. So this is like the knowledge of the fool versus the wise person. Proverbs chapter 13. This is all in Proverbs. There's a lot of them. Proverbs chapter 13. This is just to show you that the Bible's it's all biblical. This is what the Bible says about the fool, saying there is no God, and what he ends up doing. He just proclaims foolishness. Proverbs 13, verse 16. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge. Okay, so it's wise to seek after knowledge. Remember, every time we see knowledge, that's from God. Any knowledge is from God. But a fool layeth open his folly. So I take that to mean, if you can, layeth open his folly, he's just making it known exactly what he's got wrong. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. There is no God. There is no God. Yeah, how can you know there is no God if you've never been? You haven't been everywhere. You can't do everything. Oh, well, then I'm an agnostic, and they immediately revert to an agnostic. Well, I just don't really. You can't really know. I don't know that there is a God. I don't know it. So the moment you talk to an atheist and they say there is no God, they actually revert back. If you start questioning them on it, they revert into an agnostic, and they just say, well, I don't really know. I guess I don't really know. I'm not saying there is no God. I'm just saying I don't really know there's a God. But again, that's a lie too, because they do know. They're just denying the knowledge of God, but they lay open their folly. They're open about the fact that they don't believe in God. They proclaim it. They're open about it, but it's really foolishness, because they do know God exists. Chapter 15. Verse 2, chapter 15, verse 2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. If you're wise, you'll use knowledge. You'll seek God, after God, and you'll use the knowledge that he gives you to give him the glory. But the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. So you have the choice. Do you want to be right? Do you want to have knowledge? Do you want to be wise? Or do you want to be a fool? Do you want to deny God? Do you want to pour out foolishness and more foolishness come out of your mouth and just have more folly and be in confusion? That's the option that God gives you, because you, without God, you can't know anything. Verse 7, chapter 15, verse 7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. So you see again with the heart and the lips, and how it's contrasted, how out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, that the heart of the foolish doesn't disperse knowledge, it doesn't give out knowledge, because he doesn't have knowledge, because he gave up knowledge when he gave up God. Verse 14, heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge. So if you have understanding, if you're a reasonable person, if you have reasoning and logic, you'll seek after knowledge. But the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. So they just continue to go deeper and deeper into their foolishness because they don't want God to exist. They don't want to know about God anymore. Go over to, just for sake of time, let's go over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And if you remember anything about Romans 1, you'll see some familiarities with this passage, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. If I can get there. 2 Timothy chapter 3. So as we saw, that the fool that has said in his heart there is no God, he knows that God exists. He has all this knowledge from God, but he doesn't want to have that knowledge any longer. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, so he's talking to us, we should know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. I mean, look around. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient parents, unthankful, unholy. But Joe knows about the kids and how they're acting all crazy. That's just the world. That's how what happens when you give up God. And you're unthankful, right? Unthankful, we read that in Romans 1. That you weren't thankful, you become vain in your imaginations, without natural affection. Truth breakers, false accusers, this is all the same as Romans 1. Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Remember, they hated God. They love pleasures more than lovers of God. That's kind of like Adam and Eve. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For of this sort they are which creep into houses, their creeps, and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That describes, I think, the majority of people in our nation, that of how they act and how they end up being when they deny God. And you can't come to the knowledge of the truth because your mind's blinded to the truth by the god of this world. So you can have the knowledge of God, and you do have the knowledge of God. This is to the agnostic, but they don't want that knowledge, and they're never going to gain that knowledge as long as they seek after their pleasures and they deny God. You either get not God and you get knowledge, or you deny God and you give up knowledge. So what are you going to do with the knowledge God has given you? Are you going to serve Him? Are you going to live for Him? Or are you going to serve yourself? Believe in God over man. Everyone knows God exists despite what they say. If you say you're an atheist, say there is no God, I'm not going to believe you. I'm just going to believe what God said, that you do know God exists. You just don't want Him to exist. And even I've seen like videos of atheists where they say, even if it was true, I wouldn't even worship Him. I wouldn't become a Christian. So that just shows you their heart, that it's not a matter of truth or falsehood. It's not a matter of right and wrong or what they know. It's a matter of their heart. Right, their heart, that they said in their heart there is no God. I don't want God in my heart. That's what they said. So when you deny God, you give up knowledge. Just to kind of recap on the things that we talked about. So the agnostic, he knows some things. He knows God exists. He knows that he should be giving glory to God. He should be giving thanks to God. He knows that God is going to judge him one day, and he's convicted of his sin every day because of the conscience that God gave him. So when someone tells you that they don't know God, they don't believe them, believe God. Yeah. So praise the Lord. Amen. Now let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the knowledge you've given us of the truth, that you've given us Jesus Christ as our Savior. That He came and died on the cross for our sins, and He rose again the third day. We thank you that, Lord, you bought us with a price, that we are washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the certain knowledge that you've given everybody of yourself. And we pray that you just continue to use us mightily for your glory and convict those that know that you exist, know that you're going to judge them one day for their sins, and that you want to save them from their sins, and that pray that they would come to believe on Jesus Christ to be saved. Help each one of us to just use your word or powerfully and not give in to what they say, but just proclaim what you have said about them and lovingly and show them the truth. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that it proclaims. Just help us this week to give it out to the world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.